Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 14, 15, and 16. I'll be totally honest with you. When I came to this passage of Scripture, I thought, I even read it to Josie once, and I said, now, I'm really struggling where to go with this passage of Scripture. And she gave me this outline, so I'm going to preach it today. I'm just being honest, you know. No, and then usually I take Fridays is usually a day that I don't do much else but do studying. I have to study a lot in order to preach. But Friday we were in and out of meetings all day long. And so the Lord had given me this one here last week. And I've been kind of working on it. Hopefully it comes together okay, and we can understand it here today and see what the Lord wants for us. Verse 14 of chapter 2, the Bible says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that no flesh would glory in your presence here today. Lord, I have nothing to offer anybody, but we do have the word of God. We know the message is clear, Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God would use this message, would speak to hearts. I pray that you'd keep the distractions away, if it be in this church, Lord, but if it be away, maybe it's something we're thinking about. Maybe it's something, Lord, somebody said to us. Maybe it's a comment that we heard, and Lord, it's in our heart, but maybe we just remove that, Father, be completely separated from that and receive the word of God that you have for us today. I pray, Lord, you'd help me, Father, to preach this message. Lord, I need your help. You know I do, Lord. I feel so inadequate to bring a message, Father, from your word. But Lord, I thank you for calling me. I thank you, Father, for putting me in this place. I thank you for this church, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful. And Lord, I just speak to our hearts today as only you can. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say one more thing. I'm going to say thank you for the cake and the cards and the gifts that you gave me and our family. And I praise the Lord that God has allowed us to serve him as we serve you. Amen. And I'd have to say this. There's a lot of good churches out there. There really is. But this is probably my favorite. Yeah. He said, it has to be your favorite? You're the pastor. No. It's not my favorite pastor. Amen. But it's my favorite church. Amen. All right. We find here the church at Thessalonica faced intense persecution and opposition. They were oppressed, as we would say, on every hand. But even in the face of such opposition, they would not be deterred. They were confident in their faith, and they were committed to serving the Lord. We find that these verses that we have read for our text today deals with two types of people. The two types of people. Now, we know that in this world, there's two types of people. There's saved and there's lost. Now, I know the news media likes to make all kinds of different classes of people and different and all this and that. But really, in God's eyes, there's two types of people. There are those who are saved and those who are needing to be saved. Amen. Those who are lost. And if we could kind of get a hold of that, folks, and if we could talk to somebody, I love talking and having good Christian fellowship. And it breaks my heart when I talk to somebody who doesn't know, who is very religious, but they're lost. And boy, that breaks my heart when I talk to somebody like that. And I want to just shake them and say, no. It's not about religion. It's about the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ. And if they could only understand that. As we find the two types of people that are mentioned in this verse, obviously they're saved and they're lost. But we're going to look at them in a different way today. I would say we'll call them the oppressed and the oppressors. And we're going to look at that at that way today. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We need to be faithful. We need to stand. You know, there's reasons to join a church. And reasons to join a church is not because of good music. That's not a good reason to join a church. A reason to join a church is not good fellowship. You won't join a church because you like the pastor or you like the preaching. You don't join a church for those reasons. You join yourselves to a fellowship because of doctrine. Amen. You're continuing on. Doctrine is important. I had a discussion just this week with a man who was talking about some doctrinal issues, but he said, yes, but it can be interpreted different ways. Different denominations interpret it different ways. And I said, that's why we're not a denomination. That's why we are Baptist, because the Bible makes us Baptist. Amen. And that's why we hold to the doctrines of Scripture. There's no leeway for us. There's not, well, yeah, but we're going to look at it this way. No, the Bible is very clear on its doctrine. Amen. It's important that we understand that. First thing I want you to see, I want to look at the details of these two groups. First, we'll look at the oppressed. Verse 14, it says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." You know, this is basically a reminder of those principles that Paul has already spoken of, but often repeating them or repetition is the best teacher. Amen. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You know, if a preacher got up and preached the same message every Sunday, we would say, can he find something else to preach? But yet we come and we don't have any problem with singing victory in Jesus every Sunday, do we?
That's right.
Why? Because there is victory in Jesus. We don't have any problems. I love singing the song, save, save, saved. I'm happy on the way. But when a preacher comes and he says, we're gonna look at this again, people are like, oh my goodness, we're looking at kind of, have you not exhausted that topic yet? No, it is impossible to exhaust a topic from the Word of God. Amen. There's a lot of, there's not a word here of the Church of Rome being the model after which the other churches were to be formed. Amen. Very, very quickly, and just kind of alluding to the Sunday school lesson last Sunday morning, it was very good if you weren't here. I wish we'd have recorded it and you could have heard it. But it's very important that we understand that the doctrine of the universal, invisible universal church. Now, I talked to some of these after that. The doctrine of that comes from Roman Catholicism. The church is called the Mother Church. Now, you talk to anybody on the street, even a lot of Baptists today will tell you, well, yes, well, we all actually come out of the Catholic Church. But no. Now, there's Protestants who are saved. I mean, obviously, we know that. There's, as Brother Elton used to say, and it was very true, he say there are Protestants that have come out of the Baptist Church that are protesting things. They're still protesting things from the Baptist Church, and that is so true. But we are Baptists. We are not a denomination like the Catholic Church. Now, there is the denomination of the Baptists, but we would not look at them as true Bible Baptists. Bible Baptists, the ones who hold to the Word of God, the true teachings of the Word of God, are that way because doctrine makes us that way. Amen. That's important. And so when they say here, they say in verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches." Not the church, but the churches. So it's important. That is very important. Amen. First thing I want you to see is their association. This is the fourth time that Paul has referred to them as brethren. In chapter 1, verse 4, he calls them brethren. In chapter 2, verses 1, 9, and also in verse 14 that we're reading today, he is reminding them of their association to him in the church, in the Lord. They were not in this in of themselves. Can I say, I thank the Lord that we was able to go this past week to go and have a fellowship with other churches. But no man got up there and said, all right, now, you pastors and you churches, listen up, because we're changing this in our churches, the church. No, it wasn't that way. It very clearly was not that way. Amen. He was reminding them here that they belong to the Lord. And I know that we're aware of our position in the Lord, but we just need to be reminded of it from time to time. The children of God have been born again, redeemed and set free from sin. The Bible says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can I say this, folks? You could be sound asleep. I am a sound sleeper. I mean, the other night, Joseph kept waking me up in the motel. They were celebrating something. I don't know. Halloween was over. I don't know what they were celebrating, but a couple of times they ran into our motel door, and it was one of those things. I mean, it was just, wow. I woke up one time and I felt just, you ever feel like an oppression? And I just started praying, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in the rooms around us. But I said, Lord, I know who we are and I know who we serve. And boy, I just took some time. I was going to wake up Josie and have her pray, but she only slept 5 minutes the whole time we were gone. So I figured that 5 minutes, she should probably sleep. Amen. But we need to be aware of that we are the redeemed. Be excited about who we are. You could be sound asleep, and if somebody starts saying about redeemed, it should fire us up. Amen. Because we are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. We have the comfort and we have the guidance that will guide us into all truth, the Holy Spirit of God. Life is often hard to bear, but when we consider to whom we belong, it's much easier. It baffles my mind how so many people live this life who are claimed to be Christians, but they live this life like it's going to be forever, and there's never going to be a judgment seat of Christ. Can I say there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ, folks? We will stand before God one day, before the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer, and give account of our lives. It's important we understand that. Being part of the church brings comfort, and it also ought to bring a challenge to us. We're obligated to maintain our fellowship. We're obligated to maintain our walking with the Lord. We need to present ourselves in a way that will bring glory to the Lord rather than reproach. You should never belong to a church that you're ashamed to be a part of. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, I know I go there, but I'm not really one of them. Then you probably should find a place where you can be one of them.
Right. Amen.
You can take your choice. I mean, there's those around that you could feel really good about it. Doing anything you want, saying anything you want, and be involved with them. But you should not be involved in the church that you're ashamed of. You need to feel an obligation to maintain that holiness to the Lord. So we see that their association, look at their imitation. This is the second time that Paul speaks of the church being followers. We find also, he talked about it in chapter 1 and verse 6. He's emphasizing the importance of following the Lord and teaching his word. I believe we can all agree that we need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be following him in holiness as he's commanded us to be holy, for I am holy. Folks, do we understand that we have a direct command from our Lord, from our head, who says to be ye holy? Why do we take so much time to try to tell people that we're not holy? It's so frustrating to me. I was just talking to Joe. I said, you know, it's frustrating how we as Christians, there's so many times we find Christians who are trying to prove that, hey, we're cool, just like the world. But I don't want to be cool like the world. I want to be set apart. I want to be holy like my Father. I want to be holy like my Lord. It's important we understand that. Their imitation. We ought to be more like the Lord Jesus every day. We ought to continually be in the state of transformation into his likeness. We need to be conformed into the image of his Son. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." They were followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. They followed the godly example of the Judean churches. You know, I'm convinced that the cultures were very different. Judea had a much different lifestyle than what was found in Thessalonica. But culture doesn't have anything to do with doctrine. You can say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. In our culture, it's this way. But in our culture, who we are citizens of heaven. So our culture should not be much different than other churches and other places. We were just in Quebec. They were singing songs. And a lot of the songs they were singing them in tongues. And we stood there, and you know what? I knew exactly what they were saying, because it was the precious hymns of the faith. And we were humming along. We told the kids, if you can sing along, just don't sing too loudly. You can sing it in English, but just sing it softly, and you can participate in the service. And praise the Lord for that. Why? Because we serve the same God. We serve the same Lord. They weren't prejudiced or judgmental. They followed the example of godliness. So we find their association, their imitation. Look at their affliction. The church in Thessalonica had suffered much by their own countrymen. Those who knew them best persecuted them the worst. Their opposition, most of their opposition wasn't from those from without. It was from those that were within. No doubt, family. I say we often face hurtful and really disheartening opposition from those whom we would never expect it to come from. People that we've loved so much turn around and it seems like they spit in your face and they go their own way. There's people that we've come here to New Brunswick. We loved them just like we loved our own family. Had them to our house. We're very close to them. And the last time that I was talking to the man, he told me that if he could do anything to get me kicked out of the country, he would do that. Why? What is that? Well, it was just a disagreement. No, it's deeper than that. Yeah. It's much deeper than that. I have no ill feelings towards him. I know many people that I grew up with that are not serving the Lord. I have no ill feelings towards them. I talked to a man just here just recently. He was telling me about another man. And I said, if I could do anything to help you, let me know. Because he's my friend. Oh, he's not serving the Lord like he should be. And things are messed up in his life. But I'm still his friend. And Bible says in Galatians that ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That's my, I'm not going to associate with you because I don't want people thinking I'm like that. No, I'm not like that. I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. We find their affliction. The church in Thessalonica had suffered much by their own countrymen, the ones that they knew the best. We find also their confirmation. Paul reveals an interesting statement, even as they have of the Jews. He's speaking of the adversity that the churches in Judea had faced by their own countrymen who were the Jews. The church in Jerusalem was not, we know that it was not immune to persecution. We know that persecution to the church in Jerusalem spread people out and started other churches throughout. Amen. I mean, it got to a point where he said, well, I don't like big churches. Well, you wouldn't have liked the first one because it was really big. And God dispersed it out, and he went out. Now other churches have branched off of that church. This was a reality that they needed to accept. The enemy was going to do whatever it could do to destroy them. And I say that our enemy will not stand idly by while our church prospers. Amen. Maybe didn't appear to be an encouragement from Paul, but it confirmed some things in his heart. They were doing enough to be noticed. They were fruitful for the Lord, and the enemy had attacked. You know, I do not want to become a martyr. That's not my ultimate goal in life, to become a martyr. To be pulled up on a post and to whip. No, that's not what I... Not on your life. And I certainly don't want River Valley Baptist Church to go through some really deep waters of persecution. That's not my longing desire. But I would hope that our church is accomplishing enough for the Lord to be noticed of the enemy. I hope we're doing enough in trying to reach souls for the Lord that it's going to upset the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. And so we looked at the oppressed. And I want you to see here in verse 15, the character of the oppressors. In verse 15, it says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Notice what it said, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Paul speaking specifically here of the Jews who sought to hinder the gospel and to oppress this church. Much of what he speaks of had happened prior to the founding of the church here in Thessalonica, but it reveals the true character of those who seek to hinder the gospel. This gives us a valuable insight in our day. There are those who were very religious, want nothing to do with truth. They want religion, not truth. The Lord Jesus said, you come to my church and you do my sacraments, you can be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through the church of such and such. No, but by me. But by me. We find their focus. Their focus. It says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. Now there's those today say, see, I don't like the Jews because they killed Jesus. But may I remind you what the Bible says, what the Lord himself said in John chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh it of me. What's he talking about? His life. No man taketh it of me. No man taketh it of me. But I lay it down of myself. I lay it down of myself. Now, some people would say, well, you're taking up for them. No, I'm not. I'm taking up for the Word of God. Do not preach your pet doctrine just because you don't have anything else to say, because you're going to run with a verse that you've taken out of context. It's important that we understand that. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, I'm not going to labor here very long, but I want to tell you this. Power is mentioned twice in that verse. And unless the Lord Jesus didn't lay down his life, they could have done everything in their power to kill him, and it could have never happened.
Amen.
It could have never happened. He laid his down. He laid down his life. I understand what the Bible says. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that, just like I have no problem with the word elected. Amen? I don't struggle with Bible words because I read the Bible. I don't grab one verse and then say, I'm going to hold this up there. We're going to place it on our wall. That's our doctrine. No. The rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I can say a whole lot of stuff about one verse and convince you of a doctrine because of one verse, that somebody else could come up and take another verse and completely blow it out of water. But if I keep that hidden from you, I'm no different than the Catholic Pope. Sure. Amen. And Paul speaks of the deviant character of those who opposed the Lord and his truth. They were committed to preventing the gospel, the message of the gospel. Now understand, they didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ coming. They did not accept him. All through the Old Testament, all the law, it was pointing, every sacrifice was pointing. This is a pattern based out of heaven, the tabernacle in heaven. This is what's going to take place. This is covering your sins. There's coming a day. The Lamb is coming. The Messiah is coming. And when that time comes, they were willing to hold on to the pattern instead of accepting the truth. They hated the Lord. They were consenting to his death. They consented to the death of an innocent man and many innocent men. They were willing to kill their own prophets if their message was not what they wanted to hear. Now, it doesn't bother me. The sovereignty of God does not bother me. Does that bother you? When you die, you were allowed to die. If God didn't want you to die, you would live. Those missionaries that are killed, God allowed that to happen. How can you say that? Why didn't God stop it? God allowed it to happen. It did not take God by surprise. And I don't struggle with that because I know my Lord. I know God. And I'm a human. I'm nowhere, anywhere close to comparing myself to understanding my Lord. Being a prophet of God in the Old Testament, I can say this, was not an easy or a welcome task. This reminds me of the lengths that Satan and those who follow him will go to accomplish their purpose in opposing Christians today and opposing the churches. The world will stop at nothing to silence the voice of the gospel. It's evident that many today have made it their life goal to hinder and to oppose the church. I don't tell you everything. I don't tell you every phone call that we get at our house. I don't come up here and announce that we received a phone call from this person or that person and they're upset because they didn't want somebody knocking on their door. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and discourage God's people from doing what God's people should do. Amen. We find that these hateful Jews actively pursued Paul wherever he went, stirring up trouble and opposing the church. Why? Because of their fortitude. He says, and have persecuted us. The opposition didn't stop with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. This determination, can I say it, it continues today around the world and right here in Canada. The gospel is under an intense attack today. And can I just say this? The rise of Islam is a key player in that attack. I'm not standing here preaching against Muslims and all this. I think we need to reach them. There was a missionary out at the fellowship. There was a missionary to the Muslim people. And he preached. He told us different stories of how they were arrested and what has taken place in their life and in a foreign country where they're serving the Lord. And I say our own government is very careful not to offend the Muslims or Hindus and what have you, but quick to oppress Christians. Amen. Why? Why is it that you can go outside of Pizza Hut, lay down a prayer rug and pray, and everybody just thinks, that's so wonderful. I just love the multiculture of our society. I say, all right, let me show you some culture of a Bible-believing Christian. Stand out on the sidewalk and start preaching the Word of God. Just start reading the Word of God. What would happen? Somebody would come to you and say, would you please keep that in the church? You say, no, that wouldn't happen. If you say it wouldn't happen, you come with me this afternoon and I'll prove that you're wrong. Amen. We find their focus, their fortitude. We also see their folly. And they please not God and are contrary to all men. The religious Jews actually thought they pleased God with their rejection of Jesus. The opposition to this church. They were blinded to the truth. They are contrary or hostile toward all who preach truth. And I say that there's many today who think they're doing the world a favor. And they even think maybe it's pleasing God because of how they say we're bigots and we don't like this people and we don't like that people. When there's nobody that knows true love like a Bible-believing Christian. Who loves people enough to tell them the truth, amen. To tell them the truth that yes, the Lord came and give them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Praise the Lord. We see their folly. And I say there's many today that have gotten to the point where they're no longer willing to stand and proclaim truth. Well, because they want to please men. They want to please men. Really quickly, the last verse here. Verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. We find the corruption of the oppressors. Those who oppressed the church were filled with corruption and contempt. We find their resistance. They actually sought to forbid Paul to share the gospel, to preach the gospel with the Gentiles, that the Gentiles can be saved. I've had certain people from certain times who claim to be Christians but have stopped me from talking to their family because they thought that, you know, I was going to mess something up. And I was like, no, please, I'm not. Listen, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. It's like, oh, well, you could have fooled me. Man, you hide that one good. I'm telling you right now, you're really good at that. You should work for the CIA, you know, or something like that. You're really good. They actually... They oppressed Paul and tried to keep him from preaching the gospel. They had no concern for those people. They had no concern for their own need for salvation. They were hard-hearted Jews who cared less if all the Gentiles remained in their sin. We find also their rebellion, their resistance, their rebellion, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. We find their rebellion. They had only one priority, and that was to please the flesh. They carried religion upon their sleeves, but their hearts were far from God. They were determined to satisfy the flesh while pretending to serve the Lord. And God help us, Christian, if that's the way we are today, trying to act like we're serving the Lord. Oh, we're so spiritual. Look how spiritual we are. We're in church, but yet we're so far away. We might be here, but yet we're looking somewhere else where our minds are a million miles away. We have no concern over the gospel. No concern over lost loved ones and the kids that we try to bring in here. Does it break your heart when a child doesn't come to church that was here before and they haven't come back? Have you prayed for them? Have you prayed for them? I mean, does it break? Do you wake up at night sometimes thinking about somebody that wasn't in church and thinking, have they moved away? Was that our last chance? Can I tell you something today that when you have an opportunity to give somebody the gospel, that might be the very last opportunity that you can ever have to give somebody the gospel. That might be the last opportunity you have to ever, for that person to ever hear the gospel. God help us to wake up and not be like these religious Jews or to be like these people here. Trying to oppress the church, trying to live their life as spiritual people, but pleasing the flesh. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time with the flesh. Many times I struggle with it. And I've got to push it down. I've got to crucify that old flesh because it messes my spiritual life up. And until you admit that, something wrong. Can I just say something? No doubt right now. It's a quarter after 12. But for us, you know what? No doubt, we're probably thinking, I need to get something to eat. I'm hungry. What are we going to have to hunt? That's the old flesh. We need to do a war with it. We need to do a battle with that flesh. As long as men live upon this earth, there will be those who desire to please the flesh. We also see their ruin. That's the last thing. They're ruined. They would create difficulty for a time, but God had sent. But God had not overlooked their wicked ways. God will judge the wicked. God will judge those who deny His mercies. He will judge those who seek to hinder others from the faith. I think of Psalm 1. I think one of the interpretations of that verse can be where it says, and standeth not in the way of sinners. You say, well, I'm not standing in the way with sinners, but could it be in the way of sinners? That your testimony is so bad, there's people not even going to be saved because your testimony is so rotten. That's right, man. God help us. We find their ruin. I say we are in the midst of difficult days. I say we will prevail. We're working from the victory. We have the victory. Amen. We have victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. In the end, God will prevail. God's people are not going down. Praise the Lord. We're going up. And the Lord will see to that. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. According to his deeds. Romans chapter 2 verses 9 and 10, it says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. Verse 10, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. It is a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of a sovereign God and be accountable for your own sin. Amen. Can I say, if you're saved and we've been delivered from the wrath to come, the Bible says that in verse 10. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. This old world is going to face wrath like it's never known. Oh, I know it thinks it's horrible right now, especially and it is horrible. What's going on with the mudslides and things that are taking place over in Africa? That's terrible. But that's not even a drop in the bucket of what's coming. And I praise the Lord that I'm going to be out of here. Amen. You know, we were coming in today. I said, do people realize that the Lord could come before we even get to church? Here we are here. We're hungry. We want to get something to eat, but he could come before that. Amen. And I promise you, no matter what you're going to eat here for lunch, marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even come, so Lord Jesus. Many outward appearances, it may have appeared that the oppressors had an upper hand. They were winning. But one day, and I would say one day soon, the tables will turn. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Christ, the Bible says. Let's not allow the difficulties of life to hinder our labor or our faith. When we've done all that we can do, when we've done everything that we can do, the Bible says, stand. Stand. Don't sit down. Don't retire and say, I'm really, that's not part of me anymore. No, no, no. When we're dead. It reminds me of a funny story. The other day we were splitting wood, and one of the boys, I can't remember, we were talking about a certain individual and how he had worked a certain job his life and he had retired. And the boys were asking about age of retirement. And so we were talking a little bit about that, when some people retire and others wait a little bit longer to retire. And one of them, I can't remember, is like, I don't know exactly how it went, but it's something like this. I'm kind of paraphrasing just because I can't remember exactly how it was. It was something like, what's wrong with Pop Pop and Brother Osteen? I don't know. Let's not get into a point where we're just kind of, we're just going to sit back and not do anything. God forbid that any Christian gives up and just sits down and waits for the end. Let's be faithful. Let's be true to the end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you. I pray, Lord, that you'd use this message to speak to hearts. Lord, I know that we all have our struggles in life. Lord God, I pray that our struggles would be that we are fighting, Lord. We're trying to please you and not our flesh. Lord, I pray that you'd use this message to be a help to your people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.